Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
So this week, we are heading back to our recurring decades segment. We haven't done one for a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So we're caught up to the 1960s. Before we talk about that, I do want to mention, we've talked about a few times on Disney Plus, the way it was organized was through the decades, which kind of gave the idea for this whole...
Yeah, they have different collections when you go to the search function. Yeah. And those collections are changing all the time when they get new stuff. And this decades one was really cool because you could see everything...
Chronologically.
Chronologically, yeah. And they were always adding to it as stuff came on. But they've taken that collection away.
Right.
So this isn't really applicable anymore. You can still see somewhat organized by time, the animated features only.
Yes, yeah, there's an animation studio section.
And it's by, like, it's not by decades, but it's like time period, like 50s and 60s
right.
or something like that. But we're going to keep doing this anyway.
Yeah, I really like, you know, seeing how the Disney movies and Disney as a company, everything like that, changes over time. So I think that we should finish up our decades anyway. But if you go looking, at least for right now, maybe they'll bring it back, but at least for right now, that collection's not up there. Before we get to anything else about that, happy Easter, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're recording this on Easter Sunday, and some people do Easter Monday. It's not really a holiday here or anything like that.
But I have to work tomorrow.
Yes,
so,
yeah. Yes. And I'm on Easter break, so spring break. So, you know, have fun with that. Maybe I'll bring you chocolate or something. So, yes, happy Easter. Also, we always talk about a few things top of show. First of all, what are you drinking today, Brandon?
Well, it's another morning recording, so it's just the same old black coffee.
Yep, ditto. Although I do have a very springy Piglet mug that I'm drinking it out of.
Nice.
Yes, of my many Piglet mugs.
Yes, you do have many Piglet mugs.
Yeah, I think only like four, maybe five.
Is that your favorite Disney character?
That's my favorite Disney character. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some amazing Disney characters, but when I'm asked, I fall back on my good old standard Piglet. It's my favorite. Yeah. And speaking of Piglet and other such things, what's your favorite nerd thing for the last week, something that's got your attention?
My nerd thing this week is they started a new Diablo 3 season, so I was playing that the last couple days, which is why we didn't have time to podcast until this morning.
Right. Before you jump towards it today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do you want to know what my nerd thing is?
What's your nerd thing?
So tomorrow is Monday, the first Monday of the month. And the first Monday of the month, new Nuimo stuff comes out. And since it was released, I always said that I would hold off until the Winnie the Pooh ones came out.
Uh-oh.
And every time I mention it, Brandon says.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know what I'm going to do, but they're released tomorrow. So I might be going for a little bit of a drive, or I might be doing a little bit of an order, or I might be doing something.
Oh, dear.
That's fair. Are you worried?
A little bit.
That's fair. I would be, too. They're all adorable. So they're coming out with Winnie the Pooh, Piglet, Tigger, and Eeyore. And
I think Eeyore's really
Eeyore
cute, too.
Eeyore is so
he's
cute.
He's got a little, he's like furry little fringe.
And he's smiling, and he never smiles.
Yeah.
He's so cute. He's so happy. So here's my problem. Winnie the Pooh is adorable. He might be, out of all the pictures, I mean, I was really tempted by Kermit. Do not get me wrong. Kermit's really cute, and Donald's so cute. Anyway. But Winnie the Pooh might be the cutest one, but Piglet's my favorite. So I'm like, well, maybe I get Winnie the Pooh and Piglet, but look at Eeyore's little face. And then how do you get three, but not four? This is my problem.
Yeah. And it's soon to be my problem as well.
So I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet, but I'm going to do something. I'm sure I'll post about it on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. But that is my current nerd thing, is very excited about that.
That's pretty nerdy, yeah.
Yep. We just watched yesterday the third episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. What did you think about this one? We're about halfway now.
Pretty cool. I find it interesting that some of the characters have changed. Like, their whole characterization is quite a bit different than from the last time you saw them in a Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really talk about that without being a spoiler too much, but
right, we keep this spoiler free. So.
I quite liked it, and I liked the interaction of those characters.
Right.
And yeah, no, it was fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. This might be my favorite episode so far, actually. But it's very much like I'm left wanting more now. I want to know what's up. It works well for that.
It had the least amount of like big action. There were still action sequences.
Oh, definitely.
But it was, yeah, it was all about the characters.
Yeah, which is probably why I liked it so much. Yeah. And there's some really cool characters in here. This isn't a spoiler thing at all. Just I was talking to a coworker about it. What do you think's going to happen with Cap's shield?
Hmm.
You think someone's going to end up with it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, I mean, there's always rumors that Chris Evans is going to come back for sometime. So who knows? Not in this series. I don't think there's going to be a big Luke Skywalker moment, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. So that takes us to the news. Disney A News Update.
Well, we're on the subject of Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. This past week, they officially announced the casting list for the Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Yeah.
And of course, the big one is that Hayden Christensen is confirmed to return as Darth Vader.
I'm so curious about this.
I don't know how the heck they're going to do that, because, I mean, Hayden Christensen doesn't look like Darth Vader. Like, if they put him in the suit, he's not
the right size.
Darth Vader's body was played by a giant bodybuilder guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm intrigued. Maybe it'll be flashbacks or...
Yeah. Super curious.
I don't know. But yeah, no, it's going to be cool. Yep. And I think he gets a little bit too much of the blame for some of the weak writing.
Yeah, it was a writing thing. That was in the prequels.
So, of course, the Clone Wars series has redeemed all that a little bit.
Yep.
And yeah, people are excited and I'm excited.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And we got the final Black Widow trailer.
Oh, yes.
So that looks pretty cool.
I like this trailer even more than the last one. Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty well-cut trailer, so I think it's going to be cool. I think we saw the most of the villain.
Yes.
In this trailer.
Definitely.
And Taskmaster is, his whole shtick is he like watches people fight and like copies their fighting style. So you saw him like using a shield like Captain America and a bow and arrow like Hawkeye. So cool stuff like that.
That's really cool. See, I don't know anything about him, so this is really neat.
Yeah.
I was just like, what's his deal? You just explain it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's his whole deal. So she's going to be fighting like someone who knows all the moves of all the Avengers, basically.
Well, that'll go well. That'll be great. I have been excited for this since it was announced, like, originally, and now I'm just, and July 9th, come on.
And just little touches like them redoing the Avengers theme, but, like, having, like, a Russian chorus.
Yes?
Oh, cool.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good. And, of course, they have clips in the trailer of past moments with her and everything, and she's with her voiceover. It was really good. Really, really good. Maybe we can see it in theaters. July 9th.
Maybe, yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed that it's safe enough to actually get the theatrical experience.
That would be an excellent one for theaters.
We haven't bought a premiere pass movie yet. That's one that I always said if it did.
Yep.
And there wasn't another option.
Yep.
I would
We're watching it regardless. Yeah. Barry.
It'll
We're
be
not going to be
it'll
waiting.
Be an opening weekend thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Whichever way. So we got a little bit more details on the park opening and how you purchase tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're going to collect contact information from absolutely everyone that has a ticket. Like, one person buys it, but you have to input contact information for everyone. And so that's going to help with contact tracing, as well as keeping it just to those California residents.
Because that's been the question, right?
So, they're taking it pretty seriously, which is good.
Yeah, I know, like, as long as there's a way to game the system, someone will do it. But can you imagine waiting all that time, spending all that money, and then showing up and then figuring it out? No.
Yeah, too bad.
Which they'd be in the right to do.
Yeah, well, they're just following the state guidelines. It's not like they're... doing it as a personal affront to anyone from not California.
Just wait. It's going. It's coming along.
It's going the right way, hopefully.
Hopefully. Knock on wood. I don't have any wood here. Yeah. Hold on. Close enough.
that's good. Mm-hmm. It's coming along, and Universal is opening in like a couple weeks.
That's crazy.
And I think Six Flags is already open.
Yes, I think they were opening April 1st, if I'm not mistaken.
So, I mean, that's a smaller park. They don't have as much touching attractions and stuff, just big roller coasters. So,
yeah,
it's easier for them.
But it's like a sign of positive things to come.
Yes, yeah. Things are starting to slowly maybe go back to normal, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then final little bit of news. Mm-hmm. There was a bit of a viral food sensation in downtown Disney mm-hmm. this week. The corn dog inside a pickle with peanut butter somehow. I don't know.
Hot dog inside a pickle and then the pickle inside the corn dog.
Corn dog breading with some like panko crust
yeah.
on it.
Peanut butter.
It's gigantic because yes. you got to fit the pickle in and the hot dog inside the pickle. So it's a big pickle. And it's huge.
So it's a pickle on how to eat it?
It looks good. It looks good, but I think they lost me at the peanut butter.
See, and I would be okay putting peanut butter on everything in the world, so I would probably like it.
Yeah.
Although
I would try it. I would try it.
My big issue is it would be so huge.
Yeah.
It would be impossible.
Definitely. It looks like it's like twice the size of a regular corn dog.
Yeah. Yeah. And those things aren't tiny.
No.
Yeah. So I'm sure you've seen it on Instagram and YouTube and just everywhere.
It took the internet by storm.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disney Plus and chill.
So that brings us to our theme for the week, 1960s. So when you think about the 60s and Disney, what are you thinking, Brandon?
Well, I think the one that I've watched the most from this decade would be 101 Dalmatians. That's probably the closest thing they have to a classic. For that time period, everybody loves the Dalmatians.
Well, they're adorable. I'm going to argue with you on the biggest thing for a classic, because Mary Poppins came out in the 60s.
I'm talking actual animated features.
Oh, okay. All right.
Classic Disney animated features. Mary Poppins is like own weird thing.
It's true. It's true. So kind of this is what I'm thinking. I've got a whack of 1960s Disney related facts, events, stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then a list of live action ones that came out because holy live action movies in the 1960s.
Live action was big back then.
Yeah, and we have some Disney classics that we want to talk about for that. Very briefly, just, hey, this is what happened. Then let's get to the animated ones because I think that's kind of what we associate. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, so in the 1960s, we have a lot of stuff going on with the Disney company. There's some highs and some lows. Walt died during the 60s.
Yeah,
so that would be like the ultimate low.
Well, yeah, and like he was such a feature in the company that it changes everything.
Yeah, it's true. So Gene Autry appointed Walt Disney to the board of directors at the beginning of the 60s for the Los Angeles Angels, and then Disney helped get them moved to Anaheim. So we have that. We were talking hockey before. And how we ended up with the Mighty Ducks.
They had some angels in the outfield.
Yep. And that is exactly what happened. And
that was a documentary.
It was a documentary. It's true. Yeah. And it's little known sequel documentary, Angels in the Infield, as well. But so we had that happening in the 60s. We had it's Disneyland's 5th anniversary. It welcomed its 20 millionth guest. Disneyland did, so that is a pretty big one.
Yeah, and what? Well, what, they get that like every 6 months now?
Right? That's crazy. The California Institute of the Arts was founded. Oh man, we had so many different attractions show up in the 60s. We had the Tiki Room. Well, we had the World's Fair happen, which gave rise to a whole bunch of different ones, but I'll get to that in a second. Disney started his plans on Walt Disney World. We had some deaths at Disneyland. A 15-year-old fell out of the Matterhorn and did not go well. In 1966, someone else attempted to sneak into grad night by climbing the monorail track and was struck by a monorail train.
Huh.
Yeah. So we had some not great moments happening in the 60s with those kind of Disneyland events. Some other classics. So we had the Tiki Room open in the 60s. We had Carousel of Progress, Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, the Ford Magic Skyway. All those happened at the New York World's Fair, as well as Small World, which I know you love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's my favorite.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So all those were inspired by...
I do like the design of the building outside.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's
Mary Blair.
It's very cool.
It's very cool.
The ride itself makes me want to rather listen to Nails on a Chalkboard.
So was it last summer when you guys made the joke that I should just listen to Small World on repeat? I was like, okay. So I just listened to it for like an hour or something like that.
There's
I love Small
something
World.
Something wrong with you.
I love it. It makes me so happy.
Yeah.
And when it opened, did you know this? They brought children representatives from everywhere around the world, and they brought water from their oceans and put it into the canal as part of the opening ceremony. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. That's
that's not your trivia today.
Kind of cheesy, but okay.
Which, I love it. Pilsens were all really heavily influenced by the World's Fair, and of course, then you have the railway had its influence, had some of the scenes were influenced by that as well. But also, the 60s also is when Pirates of the Caribbean opened, as well as the Haunted Mansion.
Boom. Those are a couple biggies.
Right? We have some huge rides opening during the 60s. We have Scrooge McDuck being introduced in the shorts. We have Winnie the Pooh and the Blustery Day showing up, which won its Academy Award for the Animated Short Film. It was the first and only Winnie the Pooh production that won an Academy Award. And then we had someone else die. A 16-year-old tried to jump between two cars on the People Mover, and that didn't go well for them.
So what you're saying is don't try and win a Darwin Award at Disneyland.
That is exactly what I'm saying. Literally, all of these were, like, people standing up, people sneaking in, people... Yeah. And, I mean, I've heard other ones, too. All of them are, you know, people not just not following the rules, but, like... Yeah.
And, like...
Poor life choices.
Safety protocols in the 60s were a little more lax than they were now, but...
You still probably shouldn't be jumping between cars on a People Mover.
Don't be an idiot.
Or sneaking in along the monorail track. Yeah, literally, that's what happened. In 67, they did their first big redo of Tomorrowland, which maybe do that again. Yeah. That's when we got the People Mover, Rocket Jets, Carousel of Progress, Adventures Through Inner Space, all classic attractions that people look back at fondly. Maybe one of the things that they've talked about with Tomorrowland, or at least that people have talked about with Tomorrowland, is redo some of these classics and make them, like, vintage.
Yeah, you do retro... spacesuit jumpsuit style, exactly. 50s, 60s,
and every time they
fake futuristic, and it would be
amazing.
Yeah,
every time they talk about redoing Tomorrowland, because oh my god, does it need some love? This is kind of the era they're looking at, that, you know, the public is looking at, anyway. So I did want to mention that, is when you hear about these things, it was classic 60s.
Yeah, and Disneyland's Tomorrowland is going to fall way behind.
That's true.
Because Florida is getting the Tron roller coaster, which might be the best Disney ride in the world, just from what we've seen from
the
one that's built in Shanghai. So
yeah, so you're the big roller coaster guy. I'm all about the theming. I think I'll be terrified on this. I will definitely be going on it when I get the opportunity. It looks amazing.
It looks like a great thrill ride, but the theming's there.
Yep.
And it's a really cool Skyline edition as well.
Which I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. I really like that. So you're right. I think Tomorrowland is going to continue to not get very much love for a while, but people, let's look back at 1967 here and bring back some of these attractions. You have to bring them back all, but... you know, a few nods here or there, maybe some retro versions of them would be good. And then the big one. So we have all these attractions opening. We have some, you know, tragedies, some deaths and things like that. We have a lot of movies coming that I'm going to talk about here in a minute. But the big one is on December 15th, 1966, Walt Disney died of lung cancer. If you haven't watched The Imagineers on Disney Plus, there's one episode we didn't watch because we're avoiding...
it's just the modern one.
We're avoiding spoilers still for Rise of the Resistance. But if you go back, you can see kind of the effect that Disney's death had on the company.
It was an entire episode.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed that series.
It was a really good documentary, yeah.
Yeah, really recommend that series. But so we're not going to go into this a whole bunch here, but Disney had been a heavy smoker since World War I. He smoked pipe. He used cigarettes without filters. In early November, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. On November 30th, he felt unwell. And 10 days after his 65th birthday on December 15th, he passed away.
Yeah.
His remains were cremated. He isn't frozen somewhere.
No frozen head. Yeah.
No.
That's a...
Because, of course, that's the big thing, right? So after Disney's death, his studios continued to produce live-action films, but they didn't focus really on animation again until the late 1980s. They did have some animated, but you could really tell the dip in animated features until the Disney Renaissance that started with Little Mermaid in 89. But a lot of that is because of without man being in the forest, they're kind of lost
in terms
of animation.
And animation's very expensive and risky and all that. So
Without Walt there. So I kind of wanted to use that to transition into some of these live action ones.
Sure.
All right. So here's a list. There are tons of live action movies that came out during the 60s. These are the ones I just wanted to mention super briefly. Pollyanna, Swiss Family Robinson, The Parent Trap, Babes in Toyland.
Oh, that's a good...
Summer Magic, That Darn Cat, The Gnomobile, The Love Bug, Blackbeard's Ghost, and The Computer That Wore Tennis... The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes. Oh, there we go.
The Herbie series is really cute.
Well, and that... There you go. And it's just so 1960s. I enjoy it. I love Haley Mills in all of these movies. Not all of them, but actually most of them. So Pollyanna, I think, is where she got her first one. But I basically... She is to Disney in the 60s and into the 70s what Annette Funicello was in the 50s, basically.
Yeah.
She's just, to me, is quintessential Disney. I love Pollyanna. I love Swiss Family Robinson from the 60s. There, you can watch the original one from, like, the 30s or 40s, I guess. Don't. Mm. But the 60s one is enjoyable. And, of course, they had that attraction at Disneyland after it for a while. And I also really like Summer Magic. I used to use part of it to teach. Because there's a song about how to be feminine. And it's... like mocking it.
Right. A which, satirical song about, yeah.
Pretty good for the 60s, actually. Yeah. I enjoy that. But yeah, some fantastic, super fun ones. Did you ever watch The Gnomobile?
I did not. I've never even heard of that.
Okay, we're going to watch The Gnomobile.
Oh, okay. That sounds terrifying.
It's, well, yeah. But it's so.
Do they have a 3-point plan?
But we don't know what the second point is. Profit!
Profit!
Oh, South Park. Yeah, so Haley Mills just is in all of these. And there are so many more, too. You might have had a favorite 60s one that I'm not mentioning here. Just, there's so many to name. So you are a fan of the Herbie ones from this
list. Yeah, I quite like the Love Bug movies.
You don't think I've only watched the first one?
They're fun.
How have I only watched the first one? I love these types of movies. I don't know. Well, I better jump on Disney Plus and watch the rest.
There you go.
Did you ever watch Pollyanna?
No.
I like Pollyanna. I think maybe I credit her with my eternal optimism. But Summer Magic, I have a soft spot for. Not as popular as, say, oh, That Darn Cat or Babes in Toyland or The Parent Trap. Love The Parent Trap, but I really like that one too. Okay, so animated movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just mention these chronologically.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, there's only the three of them.
Yep. Well, and then I have a special mention after. But okay. First one is 1961, 101 Dalmatians came out. And that's the one that you said you've watched the most.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, dogs.
Totally. Yeah. So it's based on the 56 novel. So, you know, they did a quick turnaround on that one.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. It was financially successful, which seriously helped because Sleeping Beauty cost a lot to make and didn't bring in. I mean, it brought in money, but not like it was art more than
it was art. They pushed new animation techniques and stuff like that, whereas this was very simple in comparison and you're more focused on your cute doggies and the simple simple story.
Kind of. It cost way less to make. Universally, like you said, there's cute doggies. You're not going to screw up here, right? It had initially positive reviews and critics were happy. They said there's a fantastic villain. And the biggest complaint was there weren't enough songs for a Disney animated movie.
Yeah, it's not a musical. It's,
no,
it's
just you have Cruella de Vil and that's like it. Yeah. They said puppies are awesome and it was just called like a super sweet, fun movie. Mm. Like you said, there's a bunch of little puppies running around. How are you not going to like this, right? Another critique was that it is a little uneven, and the biggest problem was after this movie came out, the Dalmatian puppies were, like, everyone wanted a Dalmatian puppy, but the problem is, and we're dog people, we would never own a Dalmatian.
No, well, Dalmatians are a problematic breed as a house pet.
Yes.
They're quite aggressive, and... need a firm hand for training and stuff like that. Like, they work well as a, what their original role was, as a firefighter dog.
Right,
like, they guard the firehouse and do all that. But they don't go well with kids. They need a lot of attention and exercise and stuff like that. So it's not a good dog to have be super popular.
Right, exactly. Some people who have Dalmatians and are amazing with them and love them, and they work perfectly. But I guarantee you, everyone who asked for a Dalmatian puppy that Christmas... Not going well. So
that is a little sad.
That is very sad because when people get puppies without thinking about them, that usually doesn't work well for the puppy.
Yeah, and that's...
Not their fault.
Very, very sad.
Yeah, but just watch the movie, people.
Yeah.
Get a stuffed Dalmatian.
Yeah, and watch the behind-the-scenes clips of the animators animating based off a live puppy.
Oh my goodness. Best day at work ever.
It's so cute.
Absolutely. So 2 years later, The Sword and the Stone comes out. I think this is a very underrated Disney movie.
I think it is as well.
Yeah, not the most underrated one, but I think it's quite underrated. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, I love Mad Madam Mim. So it is based off of a novel by the same name that was published in 1938. And then later it came out in the 50s as part of a trilogy about, like, you know, like just legends about King Arthur and things like that. So again, another one that they looked at the rise in book sales and were like, let's make a movie on that, shall we?
Yeah, and I mean, the King Arthur legend is just very ubiquitous.
100%.
It's one of the most adapted things there is. Like,
exactly. So the big thing with this one, the first contribution of the Sherman Brothers to music in an animated Disney film. They wrote the music for so many others. Mm-hmm. There were mixed reviews from critics. Basically, the one that I really enjoyed is a lot of people thought, and this has been widely reported, that Walt was the original kind of inspiration for Merlin, which would be the second time he was presented as a wizard, because he was also from Fantasia, the sorcerer.
Right.
Which is why his name was Yensid, because it's Disney backwards. But anyway, so this is the second time for that. And that Mad Madam Mim, who hates wholesome sunshine, represented his critics, which I appreciate the snark there.
Pretty funny, yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good movie. It's got some good Disney moments, and the whole squirrel scene is...
The squirrel scene is adorable. Did you know that the squirrel scene doesn't actually make sense time-wise?
Yeah.
Because there's the two squirrels that they transform into, one didn't show up in England until like decades later, and then when it did, it, because it was an introduced species, it like basically drove the other one to like almost extinction.
So whenever you see something like that, just tell yourself a wizard did it.
Well, so that's the thing. It's like, well, Merlin just, you know, saw the future, so yeah. He's not in. Exactly. I like it, the wizard did it. So I don't know why I know that, but I do know that.
Nerd.
Yeah. But I love Sword in the Stone. I think the squirrel scene's adorable. I actually like the little fish scene and things. Yeah,
yeah,
they're great.
It's cute. It has good moments. Some of these classic Disney movies, they have the unevenness problem.
Yeah, I'm going to say the big issue here is the pacing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like this one.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. And then The Jungle Book. So The Jungle Book is probably the one I watched the most as a child.
I watched
although 101 Dalmatians is hot.
I watched this one a lot as well.
So this one has a very short runtime. It's just over an hour. It's like 78 minutes, I think. So but maybe that's why I watch it so much. Throw it in, it's quick, right? Based on Rudyard Kipling's book of the same name, it was the last film to be produced by Walt. He died during its production. Now, it's hard to tell about its initial success because he died during the production. So a lot of people saw it based on like nostalgia and it's like an homage to him. So it's been called bright and fun. It was critiqued for some of the plot points. And again, the pacing issue was another big one.
Well, this wasn't so much a film as like scenes from like a TV show or something, like clips. It's just little clips.
You know, it reminds me in that sense, we talked about Alice in Wonderland worked better that way too. And I think this one kind of does the same thing. Best part about this is, of course, Baloo.
Yeah.
Bare Necessities is... Bare Necessities and, well, unfortunately, Zippity-Doo-Dah are probably your classic Disney, super bright, cheerful...
Get stuck in your head.
Yeah, right? Your earworms and things like that. It's short, it's bright, it's colorful, it's fun. The story is that when they first came up with this movie, Walt saw the storyboards and said it was way too dark. And then he handed them Kipling's book and said, I'm going to give you this and don't read it.
Yeah,
basically, like, it was too dark. And so, you know, add all these fun little things in. Did you know the vultures at the end? I always loved the vultures, right? But they were supposed to be the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
Which
is
why they look kind of, and they act like them.
No, that makes sense.
And then John Lennon refused.
Seems like a John Lennon thing to do, yeah.
But they actually were designed to be the Beatles. I think it was like their manager or something had worked it out and everything. And then when they brought it, Lennon was like, no.
Yeah.
Just no. He was being all John Lennon-y about it. And Louis Armstrong.
Very artsy fella.
Yeah. And Louis Armstrong was supposed to be King Louis.
Right.
Of course. And then Walt backed out of that because he was worried about the ramifications of having a black man be an orangutan.
Right.
Well, so, you know, actually... For someone who maybe made not great choices in terms of that kind of thing in other movies, I found that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you had all these, they were set up to kind of, I think, play off of these famous people who were going to be doing these voices, and then they didn't get them. So I think that also has something to do with those clips, the clippy nature of it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a super fun one. Bright, cheerful. You're not going to be in a bad mood watching The Jungle Book. But yeah, just pacing again.
So yeah, it's interesting. A whole decade with no princess film.
No princess film. You're right. And in fact, all of these are very traditionally boy type, right? They're adventure stories. And yeah, I don't like that boy movie, girl movie thing, but you definitely have your target audience, especially during this time. And here you have ones geared more for that population. That is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a special mention, though. 1964 Mary Poppins comes out. And this is kind of where all the eggs were in this basket, I think.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure it had been done before, the mixing animation and live action.
Well, Disney's first foray into creating anything was the Alice comedies, which mixed live action and animation. Yeah. It had been, but this was, I mean, Walt lobbied so hard with P.L. Travers to get the rights to do this, because she always said that she didn't want her movies. And she was quite anti-American company. She was not happy with a lot of this.
So that sounds like an interesting story. Maybe they should make a movie about it.
Maybe they should. Oh, you know who'd be excellent? Tom Hanks. Doesn't make a great Walt. So actually, when they did the musical, she said that they had fought hard to get her to do the musical on Broadway, and she literally said she was so disappointed in the film that she wouldn't want it shown again. And then she agreed to have it shown only on stage, only in England, and only done by European actors. And then she died. So they had that happen.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing she really loved about this movie, Julie Andrews.
Well, yeah, who wouldn't like Julie Andrews?
Right? Yep, she was super, super, super... There were other things that she thought were okay. Loved Julie Andrews in the role. And, you know, fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it won crazy amounts of awards. It is sentimental, lively musical numbers. We're talking about great music. Spoonful of Sugar. Do you know the story of Spoonful of Sugar? Where it came up from?
No, but it is an interesting children's song about here, drink this with some sugar.
Do you know how it, like, so it started because of the polio vaccine.
Oh.
One of the writers was really struggling with, like, an upbeat kind of thing. And his son came home and said he had gotten the polio vaccine at school. And he said, oh, did it hurt? Because there were two. Either the injection type and, well, two common ones. And then there was the one that would be given to students at school that was like, you ate it. And he says, no, they just gave it to me on a spoonful of sugar. And then the guy was like, wait.
To the piano.
Exactly. So, yeah, it actually was because of the polio vaccine that the song.
Vaccines, they're good.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Sing it while you're scared.
Yeah.
So that is another super uplifting one, right? The music in here is fantastic. Julie Andrews ended up winning Best Actress in a leading role. It was her first Oscar as lead actress, which was fantastic. And it also won for Best Film Editing, Best Visual Effects, Best Score, and Best Original Song for Chim Chim Cheree.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And Dick Van Dyke, of course, is the answer to all Disney trivia.
It's true, 100%. Yeah, was that Disney Trivial Pursuit?
Something like that,
something,
yeah.
Something, yeah. 3/4 of the answers. Dick Van Dyke.
He was in a lot of Disney stuff.
He was so many. When you talk to people about their favorite Disney movie, this one gets mentioned a lot.
Interesting, yeah. It was definitely not mine. I watched it maybe a couple times when I was young, but I don't know. It's fine.
I love this one. I distinctly remember showing this to my little sister when she was, I don't know, like 4 or 5 or something like that. And I asked her what she thought about it. And she's like, it should just make up its mind. Is it real or is it cartoon? But that's why it's fantastic. I think she ended up loving it later. But
yeah.
That was her initial reaction.
I don't know. It is a bit of a tougher sell for like little kids.
Probably. But yeah, so this one was the one that, you know, won the awards. It was the crowning achievement of the 60s. And Disney lobbied so hard to get it. And there's quite a bit of controversy around it. Do watch that. It's a good one. All right. What was your favorite out of all of these now looking back?
It's probably Dalmatians.
Still Dalmatians.
I did enjoy Jungle Book, but I don't think that's aged as well.
Right. Yeah. I think the pacing stuff is more noticeable in the Jungle Book than 101 Dalmatians. I still really enjoy it.
Yeah. I noticed the pacing stuff when I was a kid, like when I knew nothing about movies or...
Oh, see, I didn't. I was just like, yay, Baloo's singing.
No, I was like, this doesn't work.
Yeah. I just keep thinking about it in terms of the same idea as Alice in Wonderland,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's a series of short pieces that probably would have worked really well on the TV show where they had just short clips.
And the other one that really sticks out in my mind that's like that is Robin Hood.
Yes, I know you mentioned that, which mm-hmm. is, I think, one of my brother's favorite.
I loved Robin Hood. Robin Hood's fantastic. I watched that one probably mm-hmm. more than any other Disney movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder which one. I mean, when I got older, it was definitely Pocahontas, because that was my favorite when it came out. But probably, I would probably be Cinderella, would be my guess. Mm. Although, Beauty and the Beast, I literally, third VHS copy.
Oh.
Just worn out. One of those might have been when I was in university. Like, it was not as a child. But yeah, so interesting, Robin Hood. Well, you know, we'll talk about Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Some awesome 1960s ones here, and for me, of these ones, it's Mary Poppins.
Yeah, I know you like Mary Poppins.
I love Mary Poppins. Yeah, and I love Dick Van Dyke. So you know how he plays the old man from the bank as well? When, even though he had already been cast as Bert, P.L. Travers didn't like that Walt did. He was, you know, goofing around being Dick Van Dyke-like on set, and Walt, and then he lobbied really hard to get Walt to let him play the old man as well. And Walt not only made him audition, he made him agree to give this huge donation to this, like, local charity art group, and said only then would he be able to play it. But he actually loved his... different things that he was doing. Famously, you know, he has trouble making that one step and he keeps, like, missing. He was doing that just, like, between takes, again, being very Dick Van Dyke-like.
Yeah.
And Walt saw it, and so he built a riser so he would do it in the movie as well. And, yeah, so thank goodness he got to play him. And then, again, when he gets to make the cameo as in looking like an old man again in the new Mary Poppins as well. But yeah, I really enjoy that one. Also not your trivia.
Hmm. Cool. Well, speaking of trivia, do you want to review last week's?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we were talking all about the park and Touch of Disney and stuff like that. So I asked you some park-related questions.
Yes.
Disneyland's been closed for over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And previously, it had only been closed a scant few times before that.
Right.
So I asked you if you could name two out of the three reasons it had closed in the past, and you said
I know they were closed on September 11th. Another one, I think they were closed after JFK's assassination.
And that is correct. Yeah.
Yay.
JFK assassination and September 11th were the two big ones.
Right.
And then the third one, which is less well known, apparently there was a big yippie protest on Tom Sawyer's Island that they had to shut the park down for.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I didn't really look into the details of that, but...
Well, I want to now.
Yeah, kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weird place to stage a protest, but I guess they got in the headlines and shut down Disneyland, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
Did what they needed to do then.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to think only, like, a small handful of times and then over a year. It's a big jump.
Yeah, and, well, Disney World's been closed down a lot more because they have hurricanes to contend with.
Right.
And so that's a bigger of a problem. California doesn't have hurricanes, they have earthquakes, but no earthquake has shut down Disneyland.
Oh, I find that interesting. And, well, of course, we had troubles with the California fires.
Right.
And then I thought maybe that had shut down at some point.
Not yet.
Not yet, yeah. Well, not yet.
Knock on wood there, because they're apparently due for the big one.
Oh.
They have been for 50 years, so.
Wow. Neat.
Yeah.
Neat.
Okay, and so... My next question was about cast members.
Mm-hmm.
They're always on a first name basis. You got their little name tag with their first name.
Right.
But that can lead to some confusion if two Jennifers or
right.
two Davids or something like that mm-hmm. are working in the same area. So I asked you what they do in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you said...
They get to choose another name that hasn't been done and that like becomes like their name while they're at work, like they're like a nickname.
Yeah, that's more or less correct.
I can't believe I got that one.
The most senior employee gets to keep their real name, and the one that's come along later gets a different one. And I'm not sure if they get to choose or if they're just like, no, you're Steve now.
So then my other question is, when the other one leaves, does the newcomer get to change their name to their actual name?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Maybe they like their new name.
Maybe
so much.
They do. Maybe Steve wants to be Steve and not Joanna forever or something.
And then finally, the mascots. Mm-hmm. I asked you a question about mascots because Touch of Disney's having some mascots and about, and that's very Disney-ish.
I saw Sadness today, who's just adorable.
Just so sad. Mascot costumes are pretty uncomfortable, so I wanted to know what you thought the time limit they have, union-mandated time limits for them. And you said...
20 minutes.
Okay.
20 minutes.
And you know what? That's a pretty good guess. 20 minutes is actually their limit in a specific circumstance.
Okay.
Outside, and if it's over 94 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 35 Celsius...
That's so really hot.
It's really hot. I wouldn't want to be outside in a mascot costume for 20 minutes in that heat.
No kidding.
That would be deadly. But
fan and ice packs don't do it enough.
No, yeah. And you can guarantee that they're strapped down with ice and it would melt in 20 minutes. Definitely.
Standing out in the sun without being in a mascot costume when it's 35 Celsius above gets really hot. Yeah.
And so if it's under that time limit, they can be outside for half an hour.
Okay.
And inside they can be up to 45 minutes.
That air conditioning and whatnot, that makes sense.
That would be more comfortable.
Right. Yes.
No sunshine, yeah.
Right.
So yeah, that's kind of cool. And the other thing is, to become a face character, you have to spend time in a fur costume.
You were telling me that, which is interesting. I guess it makes sense because you have to act, you know, over the top with your body language and your movements and things like that. Before you have to worry about facial expressions and so on. I think it'd be much harder to be a face character.
Oh, definitely. It's more of an acting job.
Yeah. Well, and you have a lot of performers who actually did spend time that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's complete improv skills work there. So,
yeah. Interesting. All right, so my turn to ask you.
Well, you did very well. Basically got them all right. So
I don't think that's ever happened before.
Nice. I was maybe a little generous with the last one, but it was pretty obscure.
Close enough.
Yeah.
I like that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I like knowing things. Okay, so all three of my questions are about Mary Poppins.
Oh, dear.
Because this one, yes, is probably my favorite, although I really like all of these movies that came out during this time.
Good decade.
But it was Walt's crowning achievement, and it was shortly before his death. So I thought, let's focus on this one.
Okay.
All right. Mary Poppins quoted John Keats when she commented, "A thing of beauty is a joy forever." She's unpacking her carpet bag and pulls out a potted plant. Okay? The same quote was used in another movie from 1971, not a Disney movie, but, you know, it fit a lot of the same people. So I'm going to say that again. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. What was the movie it was used in?
I don't know.
Do you want me to give you a hint?
Sure.
It also involves little children and adventures.
I don't know.
Okay. This is my toughest one.
Yeah. that seems very obscure to me. But
it's not an obscure movie. You love this movie.
Okay.
That's why I picked it. Okay. Walt Disney's all-time favorite song came from this movie. Came from Mary Poppins. What is it?
I don't remember all the songs from this movie, so.
Okay. This is just such a fun fact about this. He loved this song so much that most Fridays at around 5:30 or so, he would call up the composer and ask him to drop by his office. When he would arrive, he would gesture to the piano and just say, play it. He would play the song. And then Disney says, thank you. I love that song. Have a nice weekend.
It's the one about the money, isn't it?
The one they sing at the bank?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But and in fact, when they dedicated the partner statue, the composer came and he played the song in front of the partner statue as part of the dedication. Made everyone cry. Okay, and then your last question. Before the premiere of this movie, what was the last one that Walt Disney actually attended? The last of his movies that he actually attended the studio premiere
for? Sleeping Beauty?
You said that with confidence.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I just, it was a big one. And then I think he, I mean, they made the castle in Disneyland after that movie. So
that makes sense.
I don't know.
Yeah, makes sense. Cool. All right. So those are your three questions.
Yeah.
I also really, really wanted to ask you, but I couldn't figure out how to word it as a question. Did you know how they have lost and founds in the Disney parks?
Yeah, okay.
In Walt Disney World, there's a wooden leg in the front here, lost and found, that says Smith on it because of the joke about I once knew a man with a wooden leg named Smith, and that gets said again and again, and he's like, what's the name of his other leg? So yeah, if you ever go to Walt Disney World, go to the lost and found in Frontierland and find the wooden leg named Smith.
I was kind of hoping you'd ask me something about like merry-go-round carousel horse that they dedicated to Julie Andrews or something.
That was Walt's wife's favorite. I knew you knew that.
Okay, whatever. Interesting trivia, I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
Adventure kids movies from the 70s.
1971. There are also adults in it, and it's a musical.
Boy, howdy. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. That's weird.
It's an enchanted place right under your nose. Okay. No, if I give you any more, it's just going to... I can tell you who's in it.
No, that's fine. Okay. It's just weird. It's just a weird one.
Bugging you.
Yeah, well, whatever. That can happen sometimes. I was going to say Dick Van Dyke, but that doesn't even make sense in that context.
You're right!
Oh, okay.
No, Dick Van Dyke is not in it. Well, I don't know if Brandon's super confident on...
No.
At least not that one.
Non-zero.
But if you think you know, contact us on our social media and we'll give you a shout out if you get it right and maybe help him out a little bit.
Yeah, I could use it. Phone a friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's our show for today. Thanks to El Mule, who's responsible for the awesome custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. And you can also find us on social media, Instagram at DisneyAPodcast, on Facebook at DisneyA, and Twitter at DisneyAPodcast. You can find DisneyA episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many more.
All the podcasts.
Please review our podcast and subscribe. And if you know someone else who might like this podcast, be sure to recommend them.
Mm-hmm.
You can also listen to DisneyA episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio on Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern, with replays on Wednesday and Friday, also at 4. You can listen to Magic of the Mouse Radio on Live365, MyTuner Radio, Radio Garden, and other radio station apps. Also, we're happy to bring you the sounds and music of Disneyland on Magic of the Mouse Radio.
Yeah, that's starting really soon.
Yeah, it's going to be like a little themed hour with a bunch of cool songs and stuff from the parks.
Yeah, and we get to focus on Disneyland specifically.
Yeah.
Because it's our home park from another country.
And join us next week when we talk all about those cute little creatures.
Yay, from Endor.
From Endor. The Ewoks. So they just recently added the Ewok movies to Disney Plus, and it's been many, many years since I've only seen the one.
I've never seen any.
The little made-for-TV movies back at the height of the original Star Wars craze.
So 80s.
And I'm pretty sure they're not very good, but...
We're going to have fun watching them. Actually, so we're talking collections at the top of the show. There's a collection now, and I think it's called Vintage Star Wars or something. That's where you can find them.
Right, because it's going to have the Ewok movies and the cartoon from this holiday special.
Yeah, they're not subjecting you to the whole holiday special, cartoon.
Thank goodness. Well, check out our episode on the Star Wars holiday
special. Oh, yes! Nice.
So I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney,
I was going to say Dick Van Dyke, but that doesn't even make sense in that context.